who's chairman of the legislative council and not a member of this committee. However, this committee was legislatively created, and the appointments came from the legislative council. And so I thought it appropriate for me to call this first meeting to order and give you an idea of what the legislature had in mind with the creation of the Legislative Board of Retirement Benefits. And then let you have the opportunity to get some briefing from our staff, after which you can, at that point, elect your own chairman and decide what directions you want to go. First of all, I think it'd be appropriate for us to know who everybody is. Paul, starting right here, why don't we just go around the table and every member identify themselves and indicate representing a group as set forth in the legislation, what group it was that you came from.
Okay. My name is Paul Arnold. I'm the deputy or the director for the Division of Retirement Benefits.
All right. My name is Michael Murray, and I'm the employee of the state employed under the Public Employees Retirement System.
Jerry Girardi, I'm the retired state employees representative.
Bill Allen, Commissioner of Administration.
I'm Stan Knedlich, and teacher retiree representative.
Merritt Olson, active teacher retirement representative.
Frank Holman, I guess I'm public member.
Frank represents everybody else in the world. Well, welcome again to this first committee meeting. We seem to all be here, which is a good start. The one person that is missing, that wanted to be here very badly, is Steve Cooper, whose legislation it was that created this committee, this board. Unfortunately, Steve is also very active in the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee meeting. They've been having trouble getting quorums, and this meeting they're having tomorrow morning is at Kotzebue, where they know they're going to have a quorum problem. So it was just imperative that Steve had to miss this meeting. He particularly wanted to talk to you briefly and to indicate what the purposes of the board is. He saw it when he submitted the original legislation. And I had chat with Steve, and will indicate to you what he, in turn, had indicated to me. I think Steve wants very badly to meet with you at your next meeting, and so I would suggest to Jack and Mert, as they would anyway, that they keep Steve advised, because this committee is one that Steve, and for that matter, all of us feel could be an extremely important group in dealing with one of the most important areas that the legislature deals with, and that is the retirement systems that affect not only state employees, of course, teachers, and a great number of public municipal members as well. The legislation, I don't know if you've all had a chance to review it or not. Basically, the thing that Steve wanted me to emphasize was that this is a fact-finding board, as he sees it, as the legislature sees it. We want you to, because you are close to employee groups and retiree groups and one thing and other, and teacher groups, we want you to look with your own particular eyes, but nevertheless looking for facts, not so much this is what I'd kind of like to see or this is not what I'd like to see. That's not exactly what we're looking for. What they're looking for is from the viewpoint of, you know, the state treasury, what will be the effect of various legislative proposals that are already before you in the form of carryover legislation. Anything that was introduced in the last session is current and is available for passage or defeat, for that matter, in the second session. And so we want this group to take facts that the staff can dig for you at your direction. You were empowered, as a matter of fact, by the legislation to even seek independent actuarial information. over and above what's already available through the state Department of Administration actuarial consultants. Incidentally, if you decide to go in that direction, you'll have to you'll probably have to ask for some more money, because although this committee has a budget, and we'll have a little bit of information in that direction in a few minutes, it's nowhere near what you would need for professional actuarial work. There's two opportunities there for some additional monies. A request from the Legislative Council, because they have some discretionary funds, could be productive, or later on, when the session starts, you could ask directly to the legislature for a special appropriation. As I say, the main thing is, as the legislation itself says, we, the legislature, want to know the facts. A piece of legislation is introduced, sounds like a good idea. I've introduced a lot of teacher and state employee retirement legislation myself. Sounds like a good idea. As a matter of fact, it is a good idea. The question becomes, what will be the long-term impact on the state treasury, as well as the long-term impact on the, the particular individuals who will benefit from the legislation? Is it something that would give an immediate satisfactory or really neat benefit, and yet 10 years down the line or 50 years down the line be so overpowering that the state would just go bankrupt? What, this is the question we want you to ask. The legislation has some timetables in it that are going to make it rather difficult, not impossible, but difficult to comply with. I think maybe Murder, Jack, or Ken will probably be addressing that and let you know how it is that you're going to have to meet in order to comply with the timetables. Because if we're going to introduce legislation, you're going to react to it and then get your reactions and recommendations back to us, particularly during the session. It's going to call for some very coordinated work. Otherwise, the whole thing is just going to poof. I imagine you're probably going to want to meet at least one more time before the session starts. You'll have a chance, you'll be given packets this morning containing all the current legislative proposals that are before you. I'm not privy to any inside information, but I just know from experience that out of 60 legislators, I'm sure that at least a dozen retirement bills are in the process of being prepared right now by legislators. Either for pre-file or for introduction in the next session. Those, of course, won't be available to you or to the general public or to anybody until they're released 1 week before the session starts. Just again, I want to emphasize the fact-finding nature, because that's the thing that Steve kept saying over and over again. It's awfully easy when you're in the legislature just to be awfully confused with maybe you've noticed that with a barrage of facts, sometimes conflicting, that come at you, particularly on measures that are like this subject. And if you can help us cut through the smoke a little bit, you will perform a real service for the state. I'd like to introduce Jack Doyle, who's the Executive Director of the Legislative Affairs Agency. That agency is the support agency for the legislature and for the Legislative Council, which in turn is the interim arm of the legislature when it's not in session. Jack will give you a little bit more information, introduce more staff that will be available to help you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I just wanted to, as Mike said, let you know that the Legislative Affairs Agency, both its research arm and its legal arm, are at your disposal. And our direct agents for it will be Ken Humphreys at the end of the table there from the research arm, and next to him in the green sweater is Jim McKenzie, an attorney. And we hope that our staff, along with the staff from the Department of Administration specializing in this area, will be of help to you, and we're here to respond to your needs within the charge given to you in that Chapter 130 of this year. The staff will meet with you at all times. I've asked Ken, subject to your subsequent approval, to serve as sort of the recording secretary to make sure that each session is taped and to give a a summary minutes for you, so you'll be able to determine what you've decided and to keep an accurate record of your deliberations. There is a small fiscal end of it here. I've asked Merck Charney, our Director of Administrative Services, to explain to you, those of you who have left state service or are in it but still confused by per diem and other arrangements, to let you know what your claims can be and to cover your expenses as an attendee at these meetings, whether from your home or right here in Juneau, which is rather important. And other than that, I want to say that we are pleased to be of service to you, and I hope that when you elect the chairman will feel free to contact me or Representative Miller, who has a particular interest in following this, to communicate through our staff or directly to me any requests you need to make of the Legislative Council or the legislature, if you wish, regarding staff aid and regarding any finances you may require beyond those of which have been appropriated this for a starting year. And I'd like to ask Mert now to just to run over briefly the matter of claims for travel or per diem for attendance at these meetings. Mert?
Members of the board will use the forms that we have prepared for our legislators. We have two forms, one for state employees and one for legislators. This is the difference the way per diem is paid. The public members and the legislators are entitled to one rate of per diem, and they are be paid on a daily basis, period. Every day you are on business, you are entitled to per diem for that whole day. Any current employees follow a different set of regulations, which have to be broken down into quarter days. So, and the rate varies depending on location, depending on the cost of living. And the rate here in Juneau and in Anchorage both are $50 a day for public members. Public members, in my context, includes the retired members. And our form is fairly simple. Pass them out to the members that are entitled to it. People, state employees, of course, that are in Juneau will not receive any reimbursement for today. They're ineligible to have any reimbursement in their hometown. But public members are entitled to per diem in their hometowns. So that for those of you from Anchorage, when the meeting is in Anchorage, being public, if you're a non-state employee, you will be entitled to per diem for that day in your hometown as well. At the top, you can just put in the Retirement Benefits Board, and then you can just, the form is pretty self-explanatory after that. But the top line should be the Retirement Benefits Board, so we know the proper account to charge it to. For your information, the appropriation that you do have for this year was appropriated by the legislature, $6,000. That runs on a fiscal year basis from July 1st to June 30th. One of the items that we would appreciate, I think we set up the TRs for those of you that had to travel this time. I hope there wasn't any confusion on that. If we are informed of in advance of your meetings, when you set up your meetings, we will again do that for all your meetings. We'll send out TRs. That way we know what's in the pipeline. Some of the travel agencies and airlines are very late in billing. In order for us to keep proper accounting, if you can work your travel arrangements through our office here in Juneau, why we can know what's in the pipeline then, and we know have a better feel on how much money you have left out of your appropriation, and be able to give you a status report on request, knowing what your balance is. But if you just set up your own travel and then the bill doesn't come through until 3-4 months later, when we get the bill and end up having to pay for it, we might be giving you false information on what your balance is at any one time. So if the travel arrangements were satisfactory for you for this trip, we appreciate you just keeping, or let us do that for you all the time. And just notify us in advance of your meetings, and we'll send the TRs out for wire tickets to you wherever you have to travel to. Is there anybody else, any other questions that you might have regarding finances or administrative?
Our use of the TR in this case is already an accomplished fact. I notice it refers to numbers. We don't need that at this point.
In addition, limousine fare is extra, and you can just write note on there if you claim, under the travel section there, you can just write in there if you're claiming extra additional limousine service fares. No receipts are required except if the fee is over $6. Any one fee is over $6. That's only if that receipt is required. Anything under $6, no receipts required. You can just write it out and claim it, and that'll be paid. The address to mail it to is on the top, or you can turn them in at the conclusion of today. If you want to forecast, you know your travel plans are set for going back home, and you want to turn it in, we're in room 24 of this building. That's one floor down. And you can turn those claims in, and we'll get checks out to you in a matter of 2-3 days.
Do you want to introduce Ken or Timber? Jim, do you want to pass the packets out to your individual?
I might just explain what's in them. Top is the enabling legislation, Chapter 130, which describes your composition and duties, and then there's a sheet that lists all the pending bills that we could find in a fairly hurried look yesterday that affect retirement systems, and then the bills themselves. But it's somewhat misleading because a lot of the sections in some of these bills have been enacted as part of other bills. And so if you wish, I think we could figure out which sections have been enacted or changed by laws that have already passed. So this is what we have for you today. And then I'll pass around a sheet with the names and addresses of the members.
Paul here, too, he's got a good working knowledge of what's been passed through, so just on a quick and formal basis, is never, I think, will be very valuable. Do any of you have any questions I should have asked earlier about the legislative intent that you want to ask at this time? Perhaps later on, after you've had a chance to do some discussing, you might have additional questions. The next piece of business, then, might be the selection of a chairman. You could do it whichever way you want to go. You could either elect a permanent chairman right now, or if you wanted to elect a temporary chairman, give yourself time to think for a month or something like that, that'd be fine too. It's just whatever you want to do. As you're organizing chairman, I'm available for any suggestions or motions. The lack of a suggestion of motion, I'll take my prerogative as the organizing chairman and appoint an acting chairman for a month, or until at any point in this meeting we decide otherwise. And I'll ask Frank Holman as the public member and therefore probably the most neutral person on this body to sit in this chair for the time being and handle the business until you. Feel comfortable enough with each other and have a little bit of knowledge one day and you want to go on a permanent basis.
Let me just say that for the next 6 weeks, I won't be in town.
Let's see. This is when were you going to make a suggestion for a next meeting? Is that going to be something like December or something like that?
That was what I was going to suggest. The law requires meetings at least four times a year, which at a rough glance I think would be sufficient during the interim, that is when the legislature is not in session. One part of the duties, let's say in the duties of the board, 24-25-40A, it requires the board to make reports to the legislature within 30 days of the introduction of bills, which at least to me indicates that the board will need to meet in some capacity at least every 30 days during the legislative session, at least until that session is amended or else make some provision. But as far as the next 6 weeks, I don't see any particular problem. I would think that Jim and I could furnish you with packages of legislation, which in effect would be marked up to reflect changes in the last session, provide you with brief summaries, and such fiscal analysis as can be provided on the basis of the Division of Retirement's ordinary channels for preparing fiscal notes, and whatever commentary we might add as staff. Something for you to look over, and then if you met again, say in December, you would have had a chance to look that over, and certainly that six-week session wouldn't interfere with that schedule. Of course, it's up to you, but that was the way it looked to me.
Jerry, do you have a question?
In other words, you're recommending that we have a meeting between now and the 20th of next January, whenever the...
Yes, sir, I would, for the purpose of dealing with the legislation, which is already introduced and will be carried over. There are some 20 to 30 pieces of the package there is not exhaustive, and we'll work that over again for you. But one thing that you're required to do under the terms of the Act is to report to the legislature within 60 days of the beginning of it. That would be a good chance to finalize your ideas on exactly what format the report will take. And I would think that as staff, we would organize it for you and prepare it for your approval, which might be done at the third meeting. But I'm certainly not dedicated to that timetable. And certainly don't have any power anywhere to impose it.
I may have misunderstood the 30-day time element to add or at about the time of a legislative session. Was there something that you said that would require a meeting of 30 days prior to, was that a month or every month?
Well, let me just quote from the Act. Section 242540 G to the Board A, the Board shall prepare a detailed fiscal analysis of each legislative proposal for changes in the retirement systems of the state within 30 days of the introduction of the proposal. So that, I think, would primarily go through session activities. For example, legislation, and there undoubtedly will be some, which is introduced on the first day of the legislative session, would require action by the board within the first 30 days of the session, which would indicate to me maybe a meeting in the early part of February, maybe the third meeting of the board. That's one duty. Another duty under subsection B, the board shall meet at least four times each year. Well, I think there won't be any problem meeting that minimum requirement. But within 60 days after the legislature convenes each year in regular session, the board shall deliver a report to the legislature on all proposals then pending in the legislature, and that would include these carryover bills from the past session for amendment to the retirement system. The board shall also report on other pending proposals which would have an effect on the retirement systems of the state. So what I had visualized as one possible way to approach it was to meet now, elect your officers, allow us to refine this package some, provide you with the summaries, mark it up on a section by section basis, and indicate those sections which have been included, for example, in a free conference committee bill and already have been enacted under another title. Provide you with the fiscal notes that we're capable of delivering with the actuarial services that the state has already contracted for. Allow you to look through those, and that I would think would be one of the main subjects of concern at your second meeting. Any comments or whatever you may have concerning those at your second meeting, including providing any further detailed analysis, which we would do, for example, if you felt that any of this additional actuarial services were called for, we would act as liaison for you and try to contract with an actuary to provide those.
Then at this point, it seemed to me that you suggested that there would have been three meetings, one of which is in session now. One between now and the opening of the legislative session would be a second one, and the third one on or about the fore part of February.
Yes, sir.
Are you prepared to suggest any other times that it would appear that we would need to meet?
Well, then I should think roughly one month after the first one and so forth until the end of the session. And perhaps after this gets underway, it might be the case that one or certainly two interim meetings would be sufficient, and meetings at roughly 30-day intervals during the session.
And then the second one would occur when, in the month of December, is that the sensing of it momentarily?
Yeah, I think that would satisfy the requirements. The second meeting, say, 3 months from today, roughly, be December 15th, and maybe then the third meeting, I don't have a date in mind, but say, not quite a month after the first day of the session.
We've got this requirement in there, which I'm a little bit reflecting, probably is not a reasonable requirement that within 30 days after the introduction of any one bill has to be reported on, you might very well want to recommend an amendment to that, because if the timing was just wrong, you would have to meet every 30 days, you know, practically on the dot, which probably is more meetings than you're prepared to enjoy and it was really necessary. I think we can probably get some mandatory language to fairly easy on something like that. But for the time being, at least, it would appear that you should plan on something pretty close to the schedule Ken was suggesting right then. Getting back to the chairmanship or acting chairmanship situation, it would appear that the 6-week flag, the fact that we out of town, would present no problem.
I'd move that we make Mr. Holman the permanent chairman.
Permanent chairman?
Wait a minute. I would consent to the temporary chairman, but I'm not sure that my time will permit me to be permanent chairman, at least during the legislative session. Because that's a time when I have much other work going on at the same time. It's a very active time in my business. But for the organizational purposes, and at least until the next meeting, if you want, I would serve as acting chairman or temporary chairman.
You want to informally amend your thing?
Amend that. Ignore that. Mr. Holman assumed the temporary role as chairman.
I'll second that.
Motion's made and seconded that Mr. Holman be made as the acting chairman. Is there any objection?
Question.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Frank, you're the acting chairman of the mark this date down in history. Before Frank takes over the chair here, and I'm going to disappear with Jack for just a little while, then I'll be back. We've got some other business that needs to be taken care of this morning, but I wanted to say I was delighted, and I should have mentioned earlier, to see additional people in the audience here. As with legislative meetings, this meeting will always be open to the public, and the public is not only allowed but absolutely encouraged to attend. It's the healthiest thing in the world, and so it's I hope that you'll continue to take an active interest in this group, which is a very important group. And if you ever hear anybody else ask, can I sit in on those meetings? Absolutely yes. It's just like a session of the legislature or a session of a legislative committee meeting. And,
Just a point of clarification, it occurred to us reference was being made to the interim retirement committee, and one or two of us weren't sure of the identity of that.
I think
body.
By interim, I think what was referred to meaning between sessions. You are the committee, and when he was talking about the interim, he meant.
If my attention is called to a newspaper. Clipping, saying
oh,
that
I see. Okay.
Such
interview. Excuse me.
And I assume that this was a legislative
body. Yes, there is a what's frequently called an interim committee, which really is kind of a misnomer. There are subcommittees of the legislative council.
Yes,
their function occurs during the interim.
Charlie Farr, in fact, is Rocky here, is his administrative assistant. And Charlie, of course, is very interested in any legislation that that's pending as chairman of the Interim Committee on Retirement. And he'll be holding some hearings. When are those going to be, Rocky? October, November, is it?
They're going to be in November, and I do have copies of the schedule.
Okay, that would be great if you would make that available and make sure if there are any changes in that schedule, I think, that this board would be advised, because you will, I'm sure, want to be kept advised of what Representative Farr's committee is doing, because he'll be coming in with proposed legislation. And if you can pick up a few smarts in the meantime before it's introduced, then you're just that much ahead of the game by the time he introduces it. Well, if you don't have any more need of my services for the time being, as I say, I'll be disappearing here for a few minutes, and then I'll be back in to sit in with you, at least for the balance of the morning, and answer any legislative questions you might have. The staff from the agency, of course, is totally at your disposal, so don't hesitate. I again want to say how much I appreciate all of you showing up for this first meeting. It's a good start, and I'm sure this is going to be a very dedicated and very productive committee for the state. The legislature is very appreciative. Frank, I'll give you the nickel gavel here. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah,
Frank.
Well, needless to say, I don't know where we're going here without an agenda. I just have a few questions I'd like to ask, maybe, and we can just discuss the legislation if there are questions. If we're talking about another meeting in mid-December sometime, when we would review all of the pending legislation, will you have at that time a report on each piece of legislation and its impact, or do you have that now on any of the stuff you've passed on today?
Yes and no. That is, we would have it by that time. Indeed, I would anticipate mailing it out to you before the meeting, mm-hmm. so that you would have a chance to review it individually. And no, we don't have that at this time. What I would visualize is something that's close to the nature of our current fiscal notice that I think would satisfy the language in the Act. And we can certainly get additional material on those that you thought required it. This requires kind of an even-handed treatment of all the proposals, even those perhaps which had no chance of passage and which didn't have really any support from anyone, although they were introduced. Well, we would provide that for them along with a summary. I was thinking of something along the lines of what we produce at the end of each session, a description of the Act itself, perhaps on the order of a paragraph, just describing the effects of it. It's sometimes difficult to read acts the way they're drafted if you don't have a set of statutes at hand. It will simply say, as 1425.110b is amended to read, and it will say 10 instead of 15, and it's difficult to ascertain exactly what the effect of that is, so that the summary would at least provide you with a framework and you would understand what the general effect of the legislation was going to be. Then what we might refer to as the fiscal analysis would give you at least a pretty good ballpark idea of the cost of it. Then at your second meeting, whether you choose to have it in December or November or whenever, it would give you an opportunity to discuss it. You could decide at that time, if not now, what other sorts of functions you might like to perform, if any, beyond what is actually required in the Act. For example, in addition to providing this required fiscal analysis and estimate of the actuarial impact of these measures, will the board choose to make any recommendations to express preferences or opinions about pieces of legislation. For example, would you choose to say, well, we think the cost of this is such and such, and this is not a good buy for the employees of the state or the current retired people either. Opinions that you might have outside the purview of just ordinary fiscal analysis. We would need some guidance from you on the way that you would want the report organized. Would it just be according to bill number, just list them out with essentially the material we provided to you, or would you care to arrange them in some sort of priority, the most important or the highest impact legislation first? These are mundane considerations, but I guess they have to be considered anyway. Will the board make any recommendations, maybe beyond even expressing preferences for one piece of legislation over another? You might point out, well, these three or four pieces are essentially going to the same thing, and they could all be incorporated in one piece of legislation. These sorts of things. It's hard for me to anticipate because I'm virtually as new to it as you are, but it's these kinds of things, and I would anticipate getting some of this ironed out at the second meeting, particularly the format of the report, and finding out from you if you wanted further analysis that is beyond what we've mailed out to you of any of those pieces of legislation, so that we would have time to provide some actuarial services for you and still meet the 60-day deadline. Then at the third meeting, there would be an opportunity for you to look over a draft of the report, still with time to make at least minor changes in the report before it was actually submitted to the legislature.
It occurred to me in looking at this legislation that in order to prepare an evaluation of each piece of legislation, that you could get involved in very extensive research projects on each piece of legislation.
That's true.
And if you're, well, I don't know, it looks like there might be a couple dozen there.
Well, there's 20.
20.
29 of them there.
That it's a lot of time. The type of report that's prepared on each one is going to be a major consideration on the amount of time you spend, or the staff spends, on each piece.
That's true.
And
Frank, maybe I can comment to that. Many of the bills that you have here have already passed. I can just look through them and spot them. Some have been combined with other bills, and some have not passed, but a good portion of these have passed last year. At the same time, the costing, talk about looking at the facts of the bills. Obviously, one of the major concerns is what does a bill cost? Mm-hmm. And it's a very involved process of determining the costs. And quite frankly, I don't think even at our table here we have any one person to sit down and cost a bill off, because it's invariably involved in actuary. Now, as the division or the Department of Administration, and through the Division of Retirement Benefits, has retained since just about the inception of the system an actuary to support our costings. And we utilize that actuary, and each year we do prepare fiscal notes based on the cost that is submitted to the legislature. And we detail the cost impact of any kind of introduced legislation, as well as any amendments to that legislation. So whatever this board's prerogative, they can work with us in utilizing our actuary if they like, which I think is, I'll make a plug in that area, I think it's a wise choice, being that there's a tremendous amount of data processing information has to be transmitted to this actuary in format, and then the education of coding and changes and just familiarity of what's been happening and upgrading of the database and things like this and assumptions that go into it is quite involved. And it's been our experience, and that the actuaries aren't out to influence the way the direction of that a legislation should go. They're out to say, present the facts. If you do this, it costs this. If you do that, it costs that. Because they have to retain a professional integrity in their community and at large. So we do provide that service, and it's part of our function to provide it to the legislature each year. How it'll fit now with the board that's been established, whether it'll still be an ongoing function apart from the board, or whether we funnel through the board or in conjunction with the board, I think it's still open. But it is at least something to consider.
So it seems that the board has two sources of information. It can get it from the legislative staff, or it can get it from your division.
Well, if I may.
Or you work together.
What I was referring to essentially was providing you with that information, since we have no, the actuary, which is on contract with the Division of Retirement, is the only actuary that I know of that's on permanent contract. And what we would in essence do is summarize the bill for a one paragraph summary. This bill has the effect of, for example, allowing a certain class of state employees to buy military credit, as an example of a bill that has passed, and then providing you with the analysis that ordinarily goes to the legislature in the nature of a fiscal note, which is, I think, exactly what Paul was referring to, allowing you to look at that, and for many of the pieces of legislation that might be sufficient unto your needs, you would be the judge of that.
Just another question. We'll get from the analysis of each bill a fiscal analysis of it, but is there also a legal analysis that goes with it? I know that Jim was attorney. Is that part of it?
I'm somewhat perplexed, frankly, by exactly what the board is going to do beyond prepare fiscal notes to these bills. First section indicates the legislature's concern that it have detailed expert fiscal analyses, but then it says in recommendations to change them, but nowhere in the duties does it say anything about recommendations, so I'm not sure just what you're going to choose to do, but the type of summaries that are prepared for the bills are more or less kind of common sense statements of what's in them, and if there are tricky legal problems that require a lawyer's analysis, then we provide that, but often it's not necessary to get into a lot of legal explanation, unless you wish of something like that in a particular case.
I was just trying to think of an example that a bill might be judged constitutional or unconstitutional by some measure in the bill. I didn't know if that was something that we had to be concerned with in each bill, or that is taken care of by another process of drafting the bill.
Well, my practice is if I see a constitutional problem, I'll bring it to someone's attention, but I'm not claiming to be omniscient in that respect. If you have particular questions about a bill or a section and want me to do some research on it, I'd be happy to do that.
Well, I momentarily, it seemed to me that that the board, this board, is a kind of a reviewing, screening, or evaluating entity. To a greater degree than what already is constituted as far as an institutional way of communicating possible retiree needs across the state. And how effectively this will work out remains to be seen. And I think it all would be relative, in terms of the desirability of any law or measure that has ever been presented. The same question arises, does it meet the proper requirements and so forth. And whether this board can serve in that respect
it's probable, but really need to be determined as we proceed.
I guess I'm a little surprised that the legislature was unclear, or at least I felt that Mike Miller was unclear, or at least was leaving it up to us to decide whether we made recommendations. It seems since the legislature created this committee, they would have some pretty definite ideas of what they want, and that's a source of confusion to me. It sounded as though we were to make that decision as to whether we wanted to make a recommendation or not. Is that no?
Well, I would assume that it's possible in a situation a recommendation might not come about, but ordinarily you would expect. So I had the feeling that the legislature tends to be a little overwhelmed with a variety of retirement proposals. And they come from all directions. They're not perhaps well channeled from either individuals or fragmentary groups or large groups. And so, in a sense, this would kind of help them to stabilize the situation, that a board would be here to sort of authenticate the proposals and give a recommendation after some degree of investigation in representing the segments of Alaska that we do represent.
I didn't really understand it that way, though, when Mr. Miller spoke to us. It sounded as though that was the determination of this board.
And I might add further that I assume that a decision that is a significant one would be made on the floor somewhere by a legislators, either in sustaining what this group might suggest or recommend, or perhaps to the contrary.
Well, it seemed like what I heard was that it was more or less up to the board if they chose to make a recommendation or not. And I guess that would be a hard question to answer now without some kind of review of the legislation and some evaluation of various bills. I think maybe that's something we can discuss maybe at the next meeting after we've seen something. But to establish a policy of making a recommendation or not making a recommendation, I don't think we have enough to go on at this point. And it may be that we want to make selective recommendations on certain bills or some that look better than others, or I don't know. That's
part of the complex that we face about economically.
It seems like we have that option to make recommendations if we want to.
The composition of the board is maybe a curious thing in the sense that it doesn't just as such represent segments of the population. In some respects, it does, but then realizing the representation from the established with the administration, for example. So just how this will mold together, I'm not quite sure, in terms of the ability to come forth with a recommendation, realizing that I might represent a particular group and he supposedly another group, and at least four of us in that respect, and then as many as three from a little slightly different segment of the populace.
With the exception of the fact that I think this seems to me that one thing is clear, this board is to make certain that the state can financially support the measure. That seems to be the overriding. And I would think in such case, then even though we may represent different segments, we're all interested in addressing ourselves to that one particular point.
I guess I'll go back to the first thing that Mike said was that this is a fact-finding board, and that's why I was a little hesitant on the area of recommendations. That if we proceed to evaluate each bill that refers to retirement, that the evaluation has to be, you know, as objective and professional as can be done. And there are times when that type of work doesn't lead to a recommendation, but the recommendation or the decision is actually made by another group. This is presented all the options or the various facts associated with each measure, and then the legislature would be the decision-making group and not the board. We just would present each piece of legislation evaluated with the same standards, so that, you know, it isn't an argument on the floor of the House about this is better than that or something. But you just have each legislator could look at the same format for each bill that's gone through and say this one cost this and this one cost that, so that the decision point on which bill to accept is usually down there. It's not quite as simple as that, I realize. But that's what I guess I'd like to stay with, the focus of finding facts on each piece of legislation. And then if we see a recommendation coming out of the evaluation of several pieces of legislation, then I think we should keep the option to make it. But making recommendations could, in some cases, be counter to fact-finding, and I have to be very careful with that. But I wanted to ask if anyone has given any thought on the staff to the format or the procedure for submitting the report.
I guess not beyond what I've already indicated.
Would it be do you see it as a written report to the legislature?
Yes.
Not a formal presentation by this board to a committee or anything?
I would view it as probably a written report, although I can picture the board responding to specific inquiries maybe from various committees. One thing, I don't know if it's been brought out, I don't think I did in my remarks, maybe Jack or Representative Miller did in theirs, but and the board is very significant in the sense that I think it's somewhat clear that it is a filter of sorts, and this act supersedes the legislative rules in any other act in the sense that it requires a fiscal note prepared by this board on a bill before, before a bill which would have an effect on the retirement systems of the state is reported to the Rules Committee. For example, out of committee, it can't go to the Rules Committee. There shall be attached to the bill an analysis of the long-term and short-term costs to the state if the bill is adopted, as well as the impact of the bill on the actuarial soundness of the fund. The analysis shall be prepared by the Legislative Board of Retirement Benefits. So, in effect, I guess this board has been granted the status of a standing committee in some ways, in a less discretionary way, an absolute filter for that type of legislation. One further remark I might make, when I was referring to recommendations, I was thinking not in any way exclusively of expressing preferences. That is, we would rather have this than that, but perhaps they might be relatively objective recommendations. For example, if House Bill X is enacted, these provisions would not be compatible with House Bill Y. In other words, that to a very great extent, they represent medicine for the same ailment and not necessarily very compatible. The recommendations might be of what might be described as completely objective nature. I'm sorry also that Representative Cooper wasn't here. If we had been relying on his presentation, I think perhaps as much as you, to provide us with a clearer statement of legislative intent, I would hope that he will be able to talk with you either at the second meeting or perhaps provide you with some input between them, although I'm not informed in that regard.
I'm wondering in that case if he might find it possible to, whatever he would have said today, to put it into print and send it to us, say, in the interim period. That would be possible.
I would certainly be happy to relay such a request.
Well, I was just going to ask a question of him. That all these bills, not 29 of them, that you have, he said, made a remark, some of them have been passed, some of them have what it deals with, and probably you could go through and check off the ones that has been and where, and give us a copy of the thing as it is enacted into law.
This is precisely what we intended
well,
to
that's,
do.
Well, I'm very definitely interested in something like that to go on.
Could I say something? None of these bills have passed as such. None of these bills under these bill numbers have passed. These are all, formally speaking, pending before the legislature. However, a great number of sections have been bodily lifted from these bills and put in other bills that did pass.
Well, that's...
It's a formal matter, but all of these are strictly pending, and supposedly you're supposed to give a report on all of them, although you have to deal with changed circumstances, obviously.
That almost all of the provisions of that bill were enacted into law under chapter...
That's right. But to us, it's no doubt confusing to go out and go through it. If we had... As you say, these bills are still pending, but somebody has tacked a little part of one onto another bill, and it has become law, and we definitely need to know.
Certainly. Well, we will provide you with that. If that's what you want us to do, I would think that might be helpful.
I think it would save a lot of time.
And I certainly wouldn't suggest you go through these bills as they are, I guess. Maybe they're useful as a product for the meeting, but we simply didn't have time to do that before the meeting, but we will do that and mark them up on a section-by-section basis. I think give you the information that you're interested in and mail this out to you as quickly as we're able to do it, certainly well in advance of the next meeting.
I think that's probably the general feeling of the board is to go ahead and do that for us. Because we need to start someplace, and that's a good place to start. And let me ask on the timing of a review of pending legislation. What do you feel the staff would need to complete that? Say if we were going to have a mid-December meeting.
Sure that I understand your question.
If we
mail out this information,
no. How long will it take you to prepare it and mail it out?
I should think that we can do it at least a month before the December meeting easily.
Are you talking about fiscal notes being attached to these? Is that what you mean? Yeah.
If it's appropriate, I may offer a comment. I'm Bob Gates, former director of retirement, and one point. That Paul made is, and also has been discussed, is the fact that all of these bills are, or many of them are not intact in the way you're going to see them, even if they're marked up. And to be meaningful to you, in my opinion, will necessitate a new fiscal note prepared, merely updating the fiscal note. But in many cases, so much has been stripped out of a bill, any existing fiscal note might be confusing. The bill may have costed a lot, but all of the cost features have already been enacted, so what's remaining may not even be worthy of consideration from the legislative standpoint, but it may just be the result of the actuary now saying in its revised form it's a zero cost impact, you know, type of thing. So I think the marked up version could be made available relatively easy. I think the key question is you've got an awful lot of actuarial work that will have to be done in any event, and probably that will take, well, you're saying what, a month before the next meeting, if it's 3 months. I would say it'll really take take a full 2 months, even if the actuary can get on it right away, to be sure that he's costing out what's now before you.
In line with what Bob was saying, if when we go through these bills and discover that virtually the entire substance of a bill, for example, had been taken out and inactive under some other heading, I would hope that maybe the board would look with favor on a perfunctory fiscal analysis of the type that I think Bob was referring to, saying, in effect, the fiscal impact of this measure with provisions excised as they have been and enacted under a separate heading is essentially zero, which would be a way of formally complying with the requirements of the law, but in effect would be saying this piece of legislation is dead and essentially not worthy of any further consideration by the board or anyone else. I think that we have to have some kind of mechanism to recognize that and at the same time need to formally comply with the act. So groping as I am too, that's the way that I would interpret it, and hopefully not burden the actuary any more than necessary. And I know of no other way to do that except to maybe to at least initially rely somewhat on our discretion to weed through them in that way. And then if you have any further questions about something, you don't agree with our opinion, whatever, we'd be happy to try to make it well in whatever way we could.
Do we see now? There's two stages that we're going to go through on the bills. One would be the staff review of the status of all the bills, and using their discretion, those that no longer apply could be eliminated, or set aside just as statement or something. The second phase would be a fiscal analysis update of each one that still is possible for.
This is what I visualize providing you in this mail-out package. The summary would not be just of the provisions, but would include some sort of statement about the current status, maybe a one-sentence statement. I would hope to try to keep that brief so that you won't be just barraged with needless detail. But for example, if that bill had been, it would still have some sort of fiscal analysis attached to it, but it might be...
Well, with 29 bills, getting too extensive, you're going to use up all your staff.
That's right. So we might just take a shot at providing you with that and do our best to get it as far in advance of the second meeting as possible with